The scripture reading this evening will be from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 through 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. And of the angels he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers flame of fire?" But to the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?"
Good to be here this morning, or tonight rather, and hope everyone had a good afternoon. I want to talk a little bit tonight about a simple question, and in fact, we're going to be looking at this question for the next couple of weeks. Sometimes people take a position or deny a certain truth, and I think of the alternative to the particular question or subject under consideration. And there are several things that fall in that category. And so we're going to look again for the next couple of weeks at some fundamental doctrines, some truths that some people deny, particularly Bible skeptics, those who might even be atheistic in their thinking. And you just feel like you want to ask them, if you don't believe what the Bible teaches, what's the alternative? And so we're going to take a look at that. Tonight we're going to begin with the simple subject of God himself. There are many people, of course, in the world today who deny the very existence of God. And we understand as Christians, as Bible believers, and just as we begin to observe even the universe before us, that there is indeed a God. And that the Bible is his word. And we believe, of course, that God is our creator, that he created not only us, but of course, he's the creator of all things. He's the creator of the universe. We know, of course, of a very popular passage in the book of Psalms, Psalms 19 at verse 1. It simply says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." And as I said, there are a lot of people who would deny that, the people who would doubt it. There are people who will flat out deny that this passage of Scripture is true. They would claim, no, God had nothing to do with the creation of the universe, of the heavens and the earth. And as a result, of course, they dismiss God in many ways and certainly wouldn't even accept that God is our creator. But as you stop and think about this, what is the alternative? If there is no God, then where did we come from? If there is no God, then how did the heavens and the earth come to be in the first place? And most of us understand, and particularly some of our young people in school, whether it is in high school or sometimes even in college, we find that you have teachers and professors that indeed are teaching an alternative to creationism. They are teaching evolution. And we understand that that's very popular. In fact, today there are more and more people who accept that and think that we as Christians have were out of our minds to doubt that this universe came about by evolutionary processes. And so we understand that teachers are confusing young minds today, and we have to stop and think. Well, does that alternative really make sense? I know it's the popular position. I know scientists, for the most part, not all, not those who are true scientists, and realize that science really doesn't conflict with the Bible. But sad to say that that's just a few scientists. Most scientists and astronomers and those of that nature would call into question the Bible and what it teaches and would come on the side of evolution. Of course, we understand that their position has to do with the Big Bang theory. And as you stop and think about that, that's really the alternative. That no, God didn't create the heavens and the earth like that passage we had on the screen a moment ago says. But it came about by this Big Bang theory. And I had a quote up here, but we're not going to be able to get to it because it's not working there. But basically, just forget what you see down below. If that's appearing up there, it is. Well, I wish I had the rest, but prior to that moment, there was nothing. I could work with that. You see, what all of that says up there before that is that 15 billion years ago, there was an explosion. And so that's how this universe came about. Basically, an explosion of dead matter. And so as we've often pointed out over the years, when you stop and think about the universe and where it came from, you don't have a whole lot of choices. Like basically, there's only two. It is either mind or matter. And if that was appearing there, you would see that these particular scientists under consideration here, they believe clearly that it was matter. Now, the interesting thing is, I'll have another quote, and I'm not a lot confident that it will appear on the screen. But there's another. I have another quote from some other scientists that believe that again, before this time, before the Big Bang, before that explosion of dead matter, there was nothing. Now, I put that on the screen just to show you that most scientists and most evolutionists and most teachers and professors who would even mock us for believing that God is the creator, they would say that we have blind faith. The fact of the matter is we believe what we believe by faith with regard to the existence of God. But they believe what they believe by faith too, because they have no real evidence of their theory, this Big Bang theory. They really can't prove it. They'll say things, well, we know because it's beyond a reasonable doubt. Well, that's not fact, is it? And who decides what is reasonable? But the fact of the matter is, they have to take their position by faith. And so the question is, who has blind faith? Is it the Christian who basically comes down on the side that what is eternal is mind? That is a being who is eternal, who is intelligent. And that intelligent being is the one who is responsible for all of creation, including us. Or the alternative, that the thing that is eternal, the thing that has always existed, is matter. And if you take that position, then you have to make the argument that somehow, some way, something that is dead, something that isn't alive, just dead matter, is responsible for all of the intelligence, all of the design, all of the organization of the universe and those who are in it. That all came by dead matter. That's the alternative. That's the alternative. The fact of the matter is, the Christian's position, the Bible position, makes a whole lot more sense. That everything came about by a being who was intelligent, that is God. Now, I wish you could see the rest of this. Prior to that moment, there was nothing. That's prior to the Big Bang. And you can even tell just by that little statement right there that these scientists are saying before the Big Bang, nothing existed. Now, what they basically are teaching then is that something came from nothing. Because prior to that moment, there was nothing. Now, the first group of scientists say, no, there was matter and energy. They say it was all found in just one place, and that matter, that energy exploded. And at least they're sticking with what is scientific to them. The idea that something can come from nothing, that's not even scientific. Most all scientists realize that you have to have something has had to exist always. Because the only thing nothing can produce is nothing. Nothing can't produce anything. You have to have something to have something happen. Like, if there was nothing, what exploded? Where did the Big Bang come from if there was nothing? And yet, that's basically what this is saying. Prior to that moment, the moment of the Big Bang, there was nothing. That's quite hard to explain, isn't it? But that's the dilemma, because the alternative to that is, okay, well, we know it wasn't an intelligent being that existed. It was just dead matter. And so now we have to explain how it is that dead matter produced all of the intelligence that's obviously in the universe. And at the end of the day, you just start to think, the position of the Christian, the Bible position, makes a whole lot more sense. I often put up on the screen, and I know we had a Bible class when we were dealing with the Bible, when we studied the Bible for about a year. I think I went through this at this particular time. But that was on a Wednesday night. And I know some of our young people are in the back, and high school students in the back. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, and I want you to particularly notice this. It's called Man Does Not Stand Alone. The earth rotates on its axis 1,000 miles an hour. If it turned at 100 miles an hour, our days and nights would be 10 times as long as now. And the hot sun would burn up our vegetation each long day, while in the long night, any surviving sprout would freeze. Now you stop and think about that. The earth rotates in such a way, at such a speed, that we can have life. Is that just an accident? Or is there design behind that? He goes on to say, the sun has a surface temperature of 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And our earth is just far enough away so that this eternal fire warms us just enough, and not too much. If the sun gave off only half of its present radiation, we would freeze. And if it gave half as much more, we would roast. Is that just chance? The evolutionists have to say, that's just pure chance. It's just the way it all turned out. The Bible believer says, no, God is behind all of this. There is intelligence behind this. The slant of the earth tilted at an angle of 23 degrees. It gives us our seasons. If it had not been so tilted, vapors from the oceans would move north and south, piling up for us continents of ice. If our moon was only 50,000 miles away instead of its actual distance, our tides would be so enormous that twice a day all continents would be submerged. Even the mountains would soon be eroded away. If the crust of the earth had been only 10 feet thicker, there would be no oxygen, and without which animals must die. Had the ocean been a few feet deeper, carbon dioxide and oxygen would have been absorbed and no vegetation life could exist. If our atmosphere had been much thinner, some of the meteors now burn in space by the millions every day would be striking all parts of the earth, setting fires everywhere. Now you think about all of that. Everything is set just right so that this planet that we live on can sustain life. Do you really think that was all an accident? Do you really think that was all caused by an explosion 15 billion years ago, and everything worked out just right so that there could be life here on Earth that is sustainable? Or do you think just maybe there's divine planning behind that? Someone has given the illustration that the chances of all of this being an accident would be greater than the ability to number 10 pennies. Just number those pennies and put them all in your pocket and pulling out those pennies one at a time in precise order. 1, 2, 3, all the way to 10. What's the chances of doing that? You mathematicians can figure that out, but it's not likely. You try it sometimes. You can do that yourself. You number those pennies and put them in your pocket. And you come tell me, you know, Don, I tried that and I pulled them all out one at a time, 1 through 10 in exact order. You'll never do it. The chances aren't good. And yet that's something simple. And scientists would say, you know, I understand that that probably is never going to happen. And yet the same scientists would say, but all of this came from some accidental explosion that just happened by chance, dead matter that produced life and intelligent life. That's the alternative to God. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no question that God exists. And the passage that was on the screen before is right. The heavens, if you want to know whether or not there is a God, all you have to do is look around you. And the heavens and the earth speak out, there is a God. And that God is indeed our creator. And that's the Bible position. Psalms 33, verses 6 and then verse 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. That's the Bible position. And yes, we accept the Bible by faith. We live by faith. But that makes a whole lot more sense that an intelligent individual created the universe rather than just an explosion that happened 15 billion years ago. Hebrews 1 at verse 10, and you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hand. And Hebrews 11 at verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And look at this passage. We saw Psalms 33 a moment ago. We looked at verse 6, at verse 9, if you recall. Here are the verses in between. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all of the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. If you stop and think, is there a God? Is there a better position when you think about the universe? And again, all of the order of the universe. The design of the universe, how that things are kept in place, how, as we saw a few moments ago, everything is just right to sustain life for us. When you think about all of those things, is it more logical to think that there is a God who created all of this? Or would you accept the alternative? You say, well, I don't think I want either one of those choices. You don't have a choice. Those are your options right there. Something is eternal in spite of those one set of scientists who now want to think that something came from nothing. Most scientists would reject that theory. Since there's something in existence, something has always been. And the only question is, what is it? Is it mind or matter? And if you're going to accept mind, then you realize there is a God, an intelligent being, who is responsible for our creation. And he is a being who is all-powerful. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Because when you think about a being who is that powerful, who can speak the universe into existence, and that's a far better conclusion than the alternative, that is the kind of being we need to fear and we need to respect. And he's the kind of being that ultimately we're going to be accountable to. Look at one more popular passage. Romans chapter 1. You might recall in Romans, the first chapter, that Paul is listing the sins of the Gentiles. And they were involved in all kinds of horrific, immoral things. But it all started with them denying the existence of God. And we need to pay attention to the fact that when we deny the existence of God, and therefore we're not giving Him the respect and the reverence that He deserves, that makes Him angry. God is a God that can be moved to anger. And listen to what Paul says, beginning at verse 18, Romans 1, and at verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." And as we continue to read this, that wrath is revealed specifically because there are those who are denying His existence. But listen to it. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. That's what our teachers are doing today. Not all teachers, but many of them. That's what our professors in colleges are doing today. When they push and promote evolution, and they deny that God is the Creator, they're suppressing the truth. And I know that our young people have it tough in school. And you always need to be respectful to your teachers and your science teachers and all your teachers. But you need to understand that indeed they are suppressing the truth when they teach what they teach. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here, that Gentiles were suppressing the truth. They were denying the existence of God. "For what can be known," he says, "about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made," so that they are without excuse. Paul himself recognized the evidence that there is a God is the universe itself. Do we have to have faith? Yes, but it's not blind faith. Blind faith is believing that something came from nothing. Blind faith is somehow accepting that something dead, that dead matter can produce intelligent life. As we often said, that's like saying the watch created the watchmaker. If you believe that, that's blind faith. But looking at the handiwork of God, you may not understand everything about God just by that. In fact, we have this special revelation, the Word of God, to teach us all about the love and the mercy and the kindness of God. You don't learn that by looking at the universe. But what you do learn is the divine nature of God, the great power of God by His creation. And if you deny that, you're without excuse. And you will experience the wrath of God one day. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that He created the heavens and the earth? What's the alternative? We've told you what it is tonight. And it doesn't make nearly as much sense. Why not accept God? Why not understand He's your Creator? And again, He's a loving Creator. And He loves you. And He wants you to be His child. He wants to adopt you into His spiritual family. He wants you to obey the gospel of Christ so you can have a relationship with Him. Because this being who's so powerful, all-powerful, who's omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, this being loves you and wants you to be a part of His spiritual family. Do something about that. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you'll do that. In Mark chapter 16 at verse 16, Jesus simply said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It's just that simple. God made it simple because He wants you to be a part of His family. He's not asking you to do the impossible. Just accept Him as your heavenly Father. Accept His Son as your Savior. Obey the gospel and you can be saved. You have to be faithful unto death. Revelation 2 at verse 10. If you have obeyed the gospel but you haven't been living right, why not repent and ask God for forgiveness? John said, "He's faithful and just to forgive you." Indeed, He will, but you have to act. Whatever your condition, whatever your situation is, we pray that you'll act tonight. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Obey the gospel right now as we together stand and sing.